Ours will be forever the method.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken.
This episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast is brought to you by our Patreon sponsors. If you're interested in becoming a Patreon sponsor, please visit our website at bodybuildinglegendsshow.com and you will see the link in the upper right hand corner. All right. Welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast where we talk to the legends of bodybuilding and we also talk about the history of bodybuilding. I'm your host, John Hansen. And on today's show, we are going to talk to a couple of my old friends from Chicago. First of all, we got Larry Bernstein, who was the 1983 Mr. America short class winner. And he also went on to win the Mr. World contest in, I believe, 1985. And joining Larry, we've got Dave DeYoung. Dave was the co-owner of Quad's Gym, which is still running today and is one of the most famous gyms in the country. It was one of the biggest gyms in the Chicago area. It had a lot of great champions coming out of there. It was a hardcore bodybuilding gym. And Dave is going to talk to us about how he got the gym started with his partner and all the great bodybuilders that came through that gym. So it's going to be a great interview talking about the old days of bodybuilding. All right. So how's everybody doing out there? I know it's been a while since we've had a show. I look back, our last show was part two of our interview with Wayne Galash, which was back on August 9th. So it's been a full 4 weeks. Unbelievable. I just have not been able to secure any interviews lately, and I've been busy doing other things, you know, wrapping up the summer. So fortunately, we had to take some time off, but should have some other interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. I've got Tommy Muscolino. Tommy was a competitor at the Teenage Mr. America way back in the late 60s, and he was a good friend of Sergio Oliva, and he trained with Sergio, and he actually traveled with Sergio when Sergio competed in the 1969 Mr. Olympia against Arnold at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. So Tommy's going to have some great old stories, so I'm going to talk to him. I reconnected with Jerry Branham, who we haven't had on the show in a while, and just last weekend they had the Labor Day celebration at Venice Beach in California, and Jerry always goes to that. So I thought I would bring on Jerry, maybe Phil Williams, and I think they gave Tony Pearson an award there. So I'll bring these guys back on, and we can talk some more bodybuilding. We haven't had them on for a while. Yeah, so hopefully that'll work out and we'll be able to get some guests in again. It's been getting tough. I've been trying to reach out to a few people. I've been talking to a guy on Facebook who knows Frank Richards, of course, the great bodybuilder from England who went on to win his class at the NAVA Mr. Universe and then was a pro bodybuilder with the IFBB, but I haven't been able to get a hold of him yet. That hasn't happened yet. And for a while I was talking to Freddie Ortiz's granddaughter. Freddie, of course, is not on social media. He's not on Facebook, and I've been trying to convince her to come on the show. I guess he's reluctant. He doesn't want to do it, but still reaching out to her and still trying. So still trying to get these guests. I know it gets harder and harder. I did hear back from Anya Langer, one of the great female bodybuilders in the 1980s. She was a great competitor against Corey Everson. I think Corey said when I interviewed her that Anya was her greatest competition. But she said she definitely does not want to do interviews. She turns down all requests for interviews like a lot of these bodybuilders do. So unfortunately, we won't be talking to Anya Langer. Let's see what else is going on. I want to wish one of my clients, Robert Simmons, congratulations. Robert took first place in the over 60 division in the bodybuilding and the Florida State competition out here in Florida in Orlando. This was about a month ago. So Robert was shredded. He's unbelievable condition for 60 years old. So congratulations to him. And my dad had his 85th birthday. So I went out to Chicago at the last weekend of August and we celebrated my dad's 85th birthday. So that was great. Getting to see everybody in the family, put together a video for him where I had all these people send me happy birthday wishes for my dad. And I put it all together in one big video. And it was about 20 minutes long, and he was really, really moved by that. So that was great. I'm glad he really liked that. So that was a fun weekend. I've also been staying busy doing the Muscle Maturity podcast, which is part of Old School Labs. We do that on YouTube, and it's myself and Samir Banut and Nick Trigilli, And I think we've done like 13 episodes now. We do it every week. It's usually up on Tuesdays. So if you haven't checked that out, check it out on YouTube. It's not on a podcast. It's just on YouTube. But last week, me and Samir were talking about the 1980 Mr. Olympia because some of our viewers will send in emails, and a couple of them were asking Samir Banood about the 1980 Mr. Olympia because, of course, as you know, Samir was in that contest. That was his first Mr. Olympia contest, and they wanted to know his opinion of it. So me and Samir talked about the 1980 Mr. Olympia last weekend. So check that show out. It is currently up on YouTube, like I said. And I am hard at work at this new book on bodybuilding history. As you know, I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before. Lee Haney came to me about a year ago, probably, and he asked me to put something together about bodybuilding history so we could teach it at his, he has a course where he teaches a personal training certification course. And he said, it's just such a shame that so many of these people getting into personal training or are into bodybuilding even, they don't know anything about the history of the sport. So he wanted me to put something together. So I am really going to make this a big book. I'm starting now with the 1960s, and I'm going year by year, and I'm covering all the major contests. And then, of course, I'll go to the 1970s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, maybe 2010s. And then I'm going to go back, and I'm going to also cover the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, and then we'll go back to the strongmen. So it's going to take, we're even working on this every day. I think it's going to take at least 6 months, maybe a little bit longer. And we'll try to get some pictures together and put it together. And then I'm also going to start teaching seminars like Lee wants me to do at his organization, at his personal training certification program. But I'm going to start doing it all over. I'm going to put together a slideshow, a PowerPoint slideshow, and I'm going to put together like a little study guide. And then you'll take a test. So I'm going to teach the seminar for a couple hours about the highlights of the history of bodybuilding, and then you'll have a study guide, and then you can take a test with it, and maybe I'll even do this online, and then you'll get a little certificate, you know, saying that you passed your bodybuilding history exam, and you know a little bit about bodybuilding history. So this is the big project I'm working on now. So hopefully, like I said, we will get this done early in 2023, and then I'll be able to start teaching the courses in 2023. I got my birthday coming up in exactly 6 months, March 10th, and I will be the big 6-0. So I am dieting now. I'm training now. I'm going to get in fantastic shape for 60. Of course, I have to do that, of course, right? I've got to get in great shape for 60 years old. So I'm dieting now, and I should, fingers crossed, I should be in fantastic shape for my 60th birthday, which will be 6 months away. Okay, I got some emails I want to read. I also want to mention I'm going to read an article at the end of this podcast, and this comes from the May 1972 issue of Iron Man magazine, and it's a really fascinating article. This is when Frank Zane and Arnold were training together in 1971, and it says, Arnold as I Know Him by Frank Zane. I thought it was a really good article. Frank and Arnold were training together in 1971. Arnold was training for the Mr. Olympia, and Frank was training for the NABBA Mr. Universe. And, of course, Arnold wanted to compete in the NABBA Universe that year. He was the reigning champion at the time. But Joe Weider and the IFBB would not allow him because they said they had a new rule saying that you could not compete in any other organizations if you were an IFBB pro or the current Mr. Olympia. So Arnold was not able to compete against Bill Perlin. I'm sure he was very upset about that. And we as fans are upset about that because that would have been an amazing showdown that we would still be talking about today, I'm sure. So I'm going to read this article as soon as we get done with our interview with Larry Bernstein and Dave DeYoung. All right. And I do have a few emails here. This one says, John, I'm a longtime listener since you started the podcast. I really enjoyed the Wayne Galash two-part episodes. I went to his website and I purchased the 1970, 1971, and 1972 Mr. Universe contest. It was great to watch the contest after seeing the pictures of the contest in the magazines all these years. Also, thanks for mentioning Charles Fouts passing. I knew Charles when I worked out at World's Gym in Venice in the 1980s and 1990s. He told me all the stories about the 1960s and 1970s when he was competing. He was a great guy. Mike Dolan. All right. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, I wish we could have had a chance to get Charles on the podcast when he was still with us, but unfortunately, we never did. This one says, hey, John, I've been listening to your podcast for years now. Also, I watched the Muscle Maturity podcast. I love that one, too. As your podcasts go, another guest that would be great to have would be Charles Clermont. Thanks, Tommy Skelly. Yeah, Charles would be really good. So I think he used to be on Facebook, and I reached out to him a couple of times. He never answered me. So I will try Charles again. That's a good one, because Charles had a fantastic physique and was successful both at the NABBA Universe and at the IFBB. And this one says, hey, John, I just listened to the Janet Tech podcast. She's a doll. I love listening to your shows on the way to work in the car. I would like to run into you at the Mr. O. Say hi. I love your work. Thank you. I did not get the name. Sorry. But, yeah, I would love to run into you at the O too. I will be there this year, hopefully, in Las Vegas in December. I think it's, December 15th through the 17th or 15th through the 18th, something like that. So I will be out there. And this one says, hey, John, this is Dan. I just want to know, it's been 1 year since I started your MP6 program from your MP6 book. I started last August 2021 for the first time. I've had wonderful results. I'm enjoying the 6 week cycles you have outlined, along with the built-in 3 week mini cycles. I'm following pretty much exactly what you outlined in the book. Maybe the only real change is I do the same reps for all movements. It just keeps getting simpler for me. I'm older, I'm in my 60s, and I'm keeping the reps the same for each movement. Just seems to work out better. One question, John, have you ever considered adding or changing one thing to your MP6 book? If so, what is the one thing you would like to see added or changed to the MP6 routine that you have outlined in your book? If not, that's fine. Thanks again, John, for the book. As I mentioned before, your MP6 book should receive more recognition. And thanks for your podcast. I look forward to each one you send out. Oh, and I'm also looking forward to the two books you're working on. I know you're a busy man. Take care, Dan Turner. All right. Thank you, Dan. I'm glad you like the MP6 program. I'm still doing it myself. If there's one thing I would change, yes. In the book, I have 6 week cycles, as you mentioned. So I have a power cycle and then I have a hypertrophy or mass cycle. And I found that when I try to go all 6 weeks following the cycles, I kind of burn out toward the end, usually around week five or week six. I'm not able to hit my reps and I feel like I'm hitting a plateau. So what I have been doing is after 3 weeks on the cycle, I will do a superset week. And what I usually do is I'll superset chest and back. I'll superset shoulders with themselves. So I'll do like a front shoulder exercise with a side shoulder exercise or a side shoulder exercise with a rear shoulder exercise. And I'll superset biceps and triceps. I'll superset legs. Sometimes I'll do quads and hamstring exercises together, but sometimes I'll do quads together and hamstrings together, which is really hard. But anyways, I'll use usually 75% of the weight that I used on week three, and I'll use 75% of that weight, which is a moderate weight, and I'll superset, like I said, chest back, biceps, triceps, legs, and shoulders. And I'll do that for 1 week, and it kind of gives my body a break. And then when I go back to the heavy training the following week, which is week four of the cycle, I feel much stronger. So you could try that. We do the deload week, of course, after the 6 weeks is over. So after the power cycle is over for 6 weeks, I'll do a deload week where I only use 50% of the weight I normally use. And then I'll go into the next cycle, which would be the mass cycle or the hypertrophy cycle. So yeah, try that. If you find you're burning out when you get to the end, then just throw in that superset week, which would be after week three before the fourth week. It kind of breaks things up. It'll hopefully prevent you from hitting that plateau. So yeah, that's the one thing I would add. I've been doing that myself. And if I ever write an updated version of the MP6 book, that's what I will definitely put in there. All right. So that's all I've got for our opening. So here's our interview with Dave DeYoung, the owner of Quads Gym in Chicago, and Larry Bernstein, one of the top bodybuilders in the 1980s. Larry was the short class winner at the 1983 AAU Mr. America contest when Jeff King won the overall. Here we go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I have two of my good friends here from the Chicago area. First, we've got Larry Bernstein, who was one of the top bodybuilders in the 1980s. He won the 1982 short class at the Mr. America contest, and then he won the 1983 short class at the Mr. America contest, and then the 1985 Mr. World contest. And I've got Dave DeYoung here. Dave was one of the owners of Quads Gym, which was one of the biggest hardcore bodybuilding gyms in the Chicago area, and he saw some real legends go through that gym throughout the years. So welcome to the show, guys.
How you doing?
Hey, John, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we had Ed Connors and Tim Kimber on a couple months ago, and they were talking about Gold's Gym and when they took it over. And so I thought it would be fun to have Dave on and talk about Quad's Gym, because Quad's Gym during its time was one of the greatest gyms in the pretty much in the country, right, Dave?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like I don't really, I'm not a bragger. I've never been a bragger. But we get recognized by a lot of people, you know, by like, you know, remember Sean Perrin, you know, I mean, he passed away.
Yeah.
Development and, you know, Flex Magazine and Generation Iron and Bodybuilding.com and stuff like that. Ron Partlow, you know, he came and visited us, and John Meadows came and visited us about, you know, the best gyms and stuff.
Right.
I feel blessed that I got recognized by a lot of people, which is feels good. You know, that your hard work is going somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How did you get it started, Dave? Tell me in this story.
Me and Tom played pro football, and you know, so he was in college, and when he got out of college, we were both athletes. I played some semi-pro baseball, and he played, you know, we played semi-pro football together, and then he got recognized and got picked up by the Denver Broncos and then the Washington Redskins. So he, you know, we had a lift just, you know, to keep up with everybody else, you know. So we were in a basement first, and so we kind of wrecked all his mom's ceiling tiles and floor tiles, and, you know, and she kind of like, and we had music on and it was kind of loud, and she, you know, Tom's mom raised him because Tom's dad died when Tom was younger. And so me and Tom, we lived a half block away from each other. We grew up in a sandbox together.
Oh, wow.
So we lived, you know, we lived right in Dalton. I lived right on Sibley Boulevard, and so did he. And, so
this is Tom Milanovich, for those that don't know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, so we were in a basement, and then his mom, you know, nicely said to us, I think you guys ought to find a different place. So we went to looked around, and we found we had two gyms in Thornton. One was for 6 years, and it was only 3,800 square feet. And then what we did is we moved about a block down, or half a block, and it was like over 10,000 square feet. So we like tripled our size.
Wow.
I don't know. I think, Larry, did you go to both gyms? I think you did.
I did. I was going to ask, what year was that first one? Because I remember, I think I might have started there. I'm not sure how soon after you guys opened, because I saw the whole growth. It was incredible.
Well, we were in a basement in the beginning of the 70s, but as we graduated from high school, and then, you know, and then Tommy went to college, and then after that, he went off to the pros. So we opened that in Thornton in 1976.
Okay.
So, you know, and then we were in Thornton for 12 years, and then we bought the building in Calumet City on Torrance Avenue. So
okay. Yeah, I always remember Quads because, you know, I lived more I lived in Worth, so I was a little bit far from you guys.
Hammers, whenever, the Hammers.
Yeah, Hammers.
Yeah. But
whenever I would go visit, we had to drive past those quarries, you know.
Yeah, buddy. You know, I mean, Larry will tell you about probably 3:30, 4 o'clock, they blasted and the whole gym shook.
Oh, really?
Quarries, yeah, so we knew it was coming every day, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah, wow. The whole gym would shake, you know. So
how old were you, Larry, when you started there?
Well, that's what's funny. I was going to, Dave, you might remember the gym in Chicago Heights.
Yeah.
I was just getting into lifting. I was like 17 maybe. And a friend of mine said, Larry, there's this gym in Thornton called Quads. He goes, you might want to check it out. Because I hadn't heard about someone over and checked it out, and let's, you know, met Davey, Tommy. I was home.
You were a teenager though, right? You were a teenager, right, when you started?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure. I think they talked me into a teenage show that I did terrible in. And I was thinking back over the years, was I your like guinea pig, Davey? Did you guys have anyone competing? He doesn't know better.
I could tell you a little story about Larry. You know, we went to the first show and we're driving home and he got like 13th place or something. And he said, I don't really think this bodybuilding's for me. And I said, well, what are you, a quitter? He goes, well, you know, I play hockey. And, you know, I said, Larry, we just got to get your legs better. That's all. And you know what? And I think you'll do real well, but don't quit because you're too good.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I have a list of right here that I wrote. And John, you would know a lot of these guys.
Oh, excellent.
I got about 40 guys on here that I can name their names.
Wow, that's great.
The top of the list is Larry Bernstein. So,
yeah.
And I can tell you all of them. If you want me to read them off, you would.
Yeah, we'll get to that for sure.
Yeah.
He's too humble, John. You know that. He's too humble.
Yeah.
With him and Tommy, Quals became what it did. So you gotta admit some of that. Because you go in there and you felt like family and no one left.
Yeah.
No one left.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I was thinking myself how I just remember a ton of people coming to Quads for the intensity and the atmosphere and all that. And I mean, I went to Hammers once or twice. I just remember more people coming there though than I remember like us ever going somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I might be a little biased.
You
know.
Right.
You know, hey, John, just recently, Dave Pekars came and visited me.
No kidding.
Gym.
Wow.
Yeah, well, his son was working out there up north. And so he came in and I really didn't recognize him at first. And he goes, Dave, I go, yeah. And then the more he talked, then I recognized it.
Yeah.
His voice.
And how's he doing?
He's doing good. I think he was, my mistake, and I think he was working like construction or something. I'm not sure.
Still, wow. God, it's been decades since I've seen Dave.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So how did you come up with the name Quads?
Well, you know, when we were in the basement, we had four guys in there that were just friends, and they we had Marty Gadotti, and he built brand new homes. He was a bricklayer.
Okay.
So, you know, he was a baseball player, a really good baseball player, but he was in high school, but he played semi-pro too, but he wanted to gain a little bit of weight, and so, you know, we put a lot of weight on him, and then we also had Dave Spiegelman, so we had the four of us, so it was Quads, four guys, you know.
Okay.
Tommy,
that makes sense.
Spiegelman, and Marty.
Yeah.
But it was really like a muscle in your leg, you know, and so it kind of just stuck, you know. I mean, you know, the name, you know, it's synonymous. No, I mean, it's just what it is, you know. But
yeah, yeah, it's a cool name.
Remember, there was a gym, John, called Delts. Remember?
Yeah, before Hammers.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so you had different body parts. And,
right. They probably stole that idea from you. So was Tom still there? Or you said he played pro football. So when you guys opened the gym, was he there or did he go away to play?
Well, you know, he was there a lot, but then, you know, he would have to leave when, you know, like when training camp started.
Yeah.
You know, and he played on some pretty good teams, but he had a lot of injuries. He had like 12 knee operations. And so, you know, he had cruciate problems and, you know, and different things. Plus his acting career, he really, he tore his bicep in Natural Born Killers, and he broke three ribs and Above the Law. Steven Seagal kicked him in the ribs, and he came back.
Really?
You know, his taper on his ribs, and you know, I mean, so he was there a lot of the time when he was home, but I mean, you know, sometimes he wasn't home, so I had to kind of. But we had, you know, we both had jobs. Because the gym didn't make enough money. So he worked at a place called Marmon Keystone, which was a steel plant. And I worked construction. And so we that's how we lived. And we both lived at home at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were in our early 20s. You know, so, you know, he lived with the money he made in the gym. We just kept putting it back into the gym, buying more and more equipment.
Right.
And that's how we kind of survived, you know.
Yeah.
Switches. So
didn't you work at White's Pit Stop too, Davey?
I worked at White's Pit Stop too. I worked there for many years.
Remember that?
After that, it was.
You're always telling me, take care of my car, change the oil. It's going to run forever. Let's remember.
Yeah.
So, Larry, when you first joined the gym, what did you like about it? I mean, it was obviously a hardcore gym, but what was appealing to you, like compared to the other gym you went to?
Oh yeah, the gym was a powerlifting gym, and they were quite a bit older. I mean, it didn't seem like, I mean, it was good atmosphere. It was hardcore, but it didn't seem like they took as much interest in me personally, or maybe others, but like Dave and Tommy, everyone who came in there, they, you know, like he just talked to me, he goes, dude, you got potential. And, you know, he just pushed you and they coach you. And it was all about you. It wasn't like, you know, about the place, you know, and that's what made the place better. And I remember back at the, I think it was the second gym, Davey, you had a plaque on the wall for like a 300-pound bench club.
Do you remember that? 400 and 500.
Yeah. See that? I mean, who was doing stuff like that? He was always promoting. So you wanted to get on the board. And if you got on the board, then you had like, you used to have like a lifter of the month. Remember that, Dave?
Yeah, we did that.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. All types. And it was, I remember the construction guy with an R. Rim?
Yeah, he passed.
I'm sure he was older when I started.
Yeah.
Didn't know the guy. He came up to me, which I remember he showed me how to do behind the head triceps. And he goes, you can be, you know, just people helping over there.
Yeah. So a lot of people recognize your potential then, it sounds like, when you were younger.
Yeah. I didn't, of course.
Yeah.
You never do yourself.
Oh, Larry, there was nobody close. This list has got a lot of great bodybuilders that I got next to me, right?
Yeah.
And Larry, by far, went the farthest.
Davey's too. Hey, you like my jacket, Davey? No.
What's that?
There you go. Like my jacket, buddy?
How about this one? There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, but Larry, you know, he went on to, you know, he won everything in Illinois that you can possibly win.
Right.
Okay. And then he went on to bigger and better things. And, to be honest with you, he just, was very humble. And he was, I mean, what person will say that, you know, like the first show he went in, like, those guys are so much better than me. And I said, Larry, I know, like a lot of those guys competed more than one time. This is the first time, Larry. I go, we got to go back to the drawing board. We got to go back and get your legs bigger.
Yeah.
He got his legs, and, you know, his legs were some of his strong points.
He had hamstrings.
He had it all. He had the whole package.
Yeah.
That's the type of interest you put into the place. But you didn't know me until I showed up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was like Larry said, it was a family, you know. Everybody was so close knit and so, you know, and everybody was very helpful and, you know, we're always, you know, showing you different movements and different things. And,
yeah,
you know, and that's what made it. So, you know, if I had to pick out one thing that would made me happy being in this business is that all the great people I met and all the great members that I had.
Yeah.
I can tell you a real cool story real quick.
Sure.
So when we moved from Thornton, Illinois to Calumet City, you know, we kept the gym open, but we only had select amount of equipment. We didn't have all our dumbbells over there. We had, you know, a set of dumbbells, but not like our, yeah, used to have like four or five sets of dumbbells, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, we bought Calumet City, but that place was very run down, but it needed work. Okay. So every night we would leave the other gym in Thornton open for a while so people could still lift if they wanted to. Because, you know, some people were still members and they would otherwise they'd get mad and, you know,
yeah.
But everybody was at this in Calumet City working. All these people would come over there after their regular 9-to-5 jobs and be over there until 12 o'clock at night, giving up their time, you know, painting and hanging mirrors and,
you know,
floor tiles off the tiles. I'd get everybody together in a big circle and I'd say, well, what do you guys want to eat tonight? They would say, how about pizza? I go, okay. So I would go order tons of pizzas. Okay. The next night, how about some beef sandwiches? I go, okay. So then it wasn't no delivery in those days. I'd get a go to the place and get, you know, some beef sandwiches or whatever they wanted.
Wow. You know,
none of them got paid, but they were such great people.
Yeah.
They gave of their time, you know? And that's what made that place so unique, you know?
I know. Yeah. We talk about that on this podcast all the time about how things have changed, but that's what's really a big difference about the gyms is now you got these huge corporate gyms. The owners are usually just managers of the corporation. They have no idea who the members are. They don't care. It's all about, you know, the membership fees and stuff. Where back then it was owners like you, Dave, you know, you own the gym yourself. And then the members were invested and everybody was like a family, like you said, Larry, you know, it's like you guys were all doing it together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a special group of guys and women, girls too, like Patty, you know, he knows Patty Meyer.
Yeah.
You remember Larry, Patty Meyer?
Yep.
It's super nice.
Very people, cool. Yeah.
Just wonderful people. And, you know, I mean, me and Tom, you know, God rest his soul, but I mean, we were so indebted to those people because they all came over there and helped us out. And yeah. then once we got open, they all said, this place looks too good. I don't want to drop a weight or something. everything is so, was so like all fixed up and nice.
Yeah.
And we opened up. Cause we were there for like 4 months and we weren't open only in Thornton, Illinois,
So. Yeah. So how many years were you in Thornton?
12.
12. Okay. So you started in 76 until 88.
Yeah. And then the gym up north, I've been there since 1988. So I've been there like 34 years.
Okay.
In Chicago on Broadway between like Grace and Waveland.
I didn't realize you owned it that long. I didn't realize it was around that
long. Yeah, that gym there has been there a long time.
Wow. No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
And when did the one in Calumet City close up?
Well, when Tommy died, he died in 2003, I think it was.
Okay.
And then I didn't really even have it for sale, but I was, everybody was coming up to me because I was very sad. And,
yeah.
And they were saying, are you selling this place? I go, why? Well, you don't have any drinks in the coolers. You look like you're very, like you're not smiling and you don't have any bottles on the counter, any protein bars, you don't have all your clothes out and all that stuff, And I said, well, I lost the bounce in my step. You know what I mean? When you lose your very best friend, it's really unbelievable. I could tell you a little story too that was really, really, really cool.
Okay.
So the night that Tom died, it was like 3 a.m. Well, one of my daughters, Hannah, we would always put her to bed about, Tom was a godfather of Hannah and Katie. Mm-hmm. I'm divorced. So Katie lives with me now. Hannah lives with her mom. Okay. Well, we put Hannah in the crib and she would sleep through the whole night. So at 3 a.m, Tom's Micheline called me, his wife, and at this very exact time that the phone rang, Katie or Hannah started crying.
Wow.
Like he was saying goodbye to her.
Yeah.
It was, and I told Lambert from Powerlifting USA that same thing. Because he wanted to recognize Tommy in Powerlifting USA magazine.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever seen that picture with me and Bill Kazmaier and Tommy in there.
No.
That was Lambert had put that in there.
Okay.
And he said, can you tell me like one cool story about Tom? I said, well, I don't know if you believe in God like I believe in God, but this actually happened. And then, that day was, I don't know why, but I went to the gym as I couldn't stay at home because I didn't want to stare at four walls.
Mm-hmm.
My ear was glued to that phone. Everybody was calling from all over the country.
Oh man.
And I heard that Tom died. Is that true? And I go, yeah. And then I had to relive it all over again.
Talking to
everybody about it. And mm-hmm. I was crying the whole day. And it was absolutely grueling.
Wow. What did he pass from, dude?
He had an enlarged heart,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. They put a pig's valve in his heart.
And
it wasn't really taken to his body. And then his other organs started shutting down. And
oh, man.
He died in Palos Hospital. That's where he died.
How old was he when he passed?
He was exactly 49. He was 3 weeks shy of his 50th birthday.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
So was he kind of sick for a while? He didn't die just suddenly, right? I mean,
No. He had got the valve, and then I thought he was getting better, and I don't know. He just seemed like he was getting worse. We had like 28% of Nebula. We owed part of Nebula. Okay. Well, it was actually mostly Tommy's money, but, so when he died, we wanted to give his widow that money to raise those two little boys, Zach and Ben.
Yeah.
So we had given them, got the money from Tom Eilerman, and then gave it to her, so.
Okay.
I went through a lot in those days. I mean, listen, I had a lawsuit in the gym, and a girl said she got hurt on a glued ham. And My daughter Katie, who just set the computer up for me, we thought she had leukemia, and it wasn't. She was in the hospital for about a week. Mm. And there was a thing called ITP, which is where your blood platelets go real low. Mm-hmm. She came home from school. She was about 10 years old, 8 years old, and she had black and blue marks all over her whole body.
Mm.
And, you know, I got really scared. And so my friend, Dr. Casas, I called him and said to him, I don't know what's going on with Katie. He goes, well, send me some pictures. So I sent him pictures. He said, bring her right to the emergency room right away at my hospital where I work at St. Francis in Evanston. So I brought her over there. They really couldn't do as much as they could do at Children's Lurie's, because that's a cancer hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So they took her in an ambulance because they didn't want her bumping around into the car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they took her in an ambulance, strapped her in there, and brought her down there. She was in the hospital for close to a week. And then they found out later on it was ITP. And so they, you know, they found out it was something different. But thank the good Lord that it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
All the week, right?
Yeah. So.
So for those that don't know, Tom, he was, like you said, he played professional football. And then he got into movies, and this was in like the 1980s, right? When the action movies were coming around, like Steven Seagal and Chuck Norris.
Yeah, and he was also in like other movies.
In the first movie. Tommy and I, we auditioned for the first movie together.
Oh, really?
It was The Toughest Man in the World with Mr. T, filmed in Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a little bit part as one of the competitors. They had like an obstacle course. But Tommy got the main part opposite Mr. T as Tanker Weems.
Yep.
And funny enough, we were talking about it. I watched it for the first time. I never watched the thing. I don't know why. We just got busy.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny. It's really funny. But
what year was that, Larry?
I think it was 84.
Okay.
I think it was in 83 or 4. Because okay. I remember I was doing something else. I came back to do it, and then I went back to where I was. But you're talking about Tommy. Tommy was a jokester, right, Davey?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
He was because Davey, you know, Davey's always, you know, he's so good. And Tommy's always joking around. I remember getting ready for a contest. Might have been the America. I don't know. He's standing next to me in the old quads with a big old Burger King Whopper while I'm training. He's, hey, how's your diet going, Larry? How's it going? You want a bite? That was like Tommy, right?
Yeah, well, you know what? He, one thing, not no pun intended, but he had a big heart.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he would give you the shirt off his back.
Oh, both of you guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was, I could tell you stories about Tommy where he took care of so many. You know, like Tony Lala had a bad knee. Tommy paid for the whole knee operation.
Mm.
You know, I mean, he just was that type of guy. I mean, he was just,
yeah,
he had a heart of gold, and, you know,
yeah.
he was a good, gone too quickly.
And, oh yeah. Way too young. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was a big guy for those that never saw him. He was, how tall was he? He was
6'5". The most he ever weighed was about over 300. He played at 285. What made him kind of unique is that, not only was he really strong, 550 bencher, but he at 285 he ran a 4.5 40.
Wow! Okay.
And so he was really quick. And matter of fact, we went to Homewood Flossmoor. They have Larry knows this. They have like a dome or whatever there where you can go in there if you live in Homewood or something, and you could play volleyball. And they have like a tartan surface where you can run in there. And we snuck in there because Tommy was trying to run 40s in there, and it was winter.
Yeah.
So we went in there, and there's these track kids there, and they said, hey, would you mind if we could run with you? And they didn't see Tommy run yet, right? So I was, you know, I had a stopwatch, and I was checking his times, right? And Tom says, sure, no problem. So they ran against him. They were like, you know, buck 20, buck 50. They weighed nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Probably double their weight, you know. And they saw how fast he was, and they looked at me and they looked at him. And I go, are you for real? You know, they couldn't believe it. You know, they were freaked out, you know?
Right.
And he was very, that's how I think he made it in the pros, because of his quickness.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was a good bad guy in the movies because he was so intimidating.
Yeah, he was. And, He was in also some funny movies, like he was in Pee Wee's Big Top, and he was in like Groundhog Day, and he was in what else was he in?
He was in Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
Yeah, but he was that he had a very small part.
Okay, yeah,
no,
yeah,
but he had he was in some of his bigger parts. He was he played Hedo, and he was in it was called The Rookie. It was at Cubs Park. It was filmed at Cubs Park. So I would get off at 10 o'clock at the gym, and I'd go over there, and I'd bang on his trailer door. You know, they had each guy had their own trailer outside.
Right.
And I would bang on his door. He'd be in there sleeping, waiting for his next, scene or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'd go in there and sit in there with him for a while. And he'd always say to me, "Hey, go over to McDonald's and get me something to eat, will you?" You know, it was McDonald's right over there by Wrigley Field. So I'd go over and get him something to eat because he was starving.
Right.
They feed us here, but they don't feed us enough,
Right. Not for him.
Not a 280 pounder. Yeah.
What's that?
They filmed a lot of movies in Chicago in the 80s, If you look back at a lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know what? Tommy had told me that it was really starting to get real expensive to film movies in Chicago.
Okay.
So what they did is they started filming them in Toronto and then making it like Chicago because –
Right.
It kind of looks a little bit like Chicago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, the car plates would be like Illinois plates. And,
right.
So he I don't know if he went there very much, but he said that when times were a little bad, he said they're not doing a lot of filming at this point in time because of that, because they're charging too much to use, either a building in Chicago or the streets in Chicago or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's why they don't film anymore in Chicago, because it's just too, I think they go to where they get the tax breaks, I think,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Davey, didn't he bring a lot of celebrities in the quads with him?
Oh, yeah, he brought tons of them. He brought in Gary Busey. He brought just a lot of different people brought in the game that were his friends, that he got to know over the years, Dennis Farina, guys like
that. Oh, yeah. He was great. So, he was a Chicago guy.
That's just to name a few, but there was a lot more than that,
So, yeah.
That's the other thing.
You remember the movie The Fugitive?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, that was Tommy Lee Jones. But remember the guy that was a guy that was with him there, a little guy with the glasses?
Uh-huh.
Like his right-hand man. I can't think of the guy's name. But he was in that movie.
Joey Pantoliano, right?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, John, nice.
He worked out by us,
Yeah, he was in The Sopranos, too, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the other thing about quads. You go in there, even today, anyone who's anyone, pictures are all over the wall, right? It's a museum.
We got about 1,000 pictures on the wall.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, that's what made you feel good. If you did decent or show, Davey, put your picture up. Someone comes in one time to train, like, Kinnear or King or – You go, hey, can you autograph a picture? And you put it up there. And just, it's got that old school feel. And it's so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you, when Jeff King was staying at your house and you brought him in for like a week,
Yeah.
As big as his neck was, he had neck problems.
I know.
Larry would tell you that he would take this apparatus and put it on his head and sit underneath a lap machine and he would stretch his neck. The whole weight stack would stretch his neck out.
Wow.
He had a neck that was so big.
Right.
You never think that guy would have neck problems.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But he was a really nice guy, too.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I've had him.
You know what? I was at the Mr. America when Pete Miller won.
Yeah.
And so I was in the pump-up room with Pete, and I look across the way, and I see somebody, and he's got a ponytail, and he looks really skinny and, thin. And it was Jeff King because his brother was in the contest that day.
Oh, okay.
Jeff's brother was competing in the Mr. America.
Yeah.
And I walked over. I said, Jeff? He said, Dave? I go, yeah. So we started talking, and he was, I tell you what, there's two guys that I think could have really went, even Larry too. The three of them could have went really far, in bodybuilding, but they just didn't want to continue doing things that they didn't need to do.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about Pete Miller, Jeff King, and Larry. I think they chose the right choice because they, who knows, they could not be here today.
This is still alive.
Upstairs, all the pictures on the walls, the people that have been in the gym, there's 50 people up there on those walls that are dead right now that are, were that came in my gym.
Yeah.
Vinny Comerford to Nasser El Sambadi to Ben Aziza to Andreas Munzer to everybody.
Yeah.
And they're all passed away. And you know, and you know, I'm so glad that that everybody, my friends are still around, like yourself and Larry and people are still around, you know.
So. Yeah. Where was that America that Pete Miller won? Where was that?
Where was that held again? I can't remember.
It was in Dallas. Was
that at the there was in I think a Western suburbs maybe. Was it like in Rosemont? I can't remember.
Oh, it was in Chicago.
It was in Chicago. Yeah.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was in Chicago.
Hmm. Wow.
I went to quite a few Mr. Americas in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to. I seen Larry in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yep.
That was 82 when I lost the table.
I seen Worcester. Yeah, I went to the Mr. America in at the Fox Theater in Atlanta when Ray Mensah won. I was there with Mario Neves. Me and Mario were together.
Yeah.
I went to America. You remember when they had all the elephants with all the guys on the elephant?
Yeah,
I was there at that.
Wow.
That was, John, that was incredible. That was it was at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium, so they had this big patio next to it.
Okay.
And there must have been like 300 people on this patio. The contest didn't start yet. It was a night show.
Okay.
And so it was like 6 o'clock. And everywhere you turned was somebody that you had known when you were a kid. Or looked over here, here's Dale Adrian.
Yeah.
Look over here, and here's George Eiferman. Over here's Chet Yorton.
Wow.
Over here's Lou Ferrigno. Over here, back behind me is Dave Draper. They're all there, and I was like, my head was like on a swivel. Recognizing all these guys.
Yeah, 77.
It was absolutely awesome. And then they had this huge parade that went down Pacific Coast Highway.
Right.
And they had like UCLA's band, USC's band.
Yeah.
And they shut the whole road. They had all these elephants and Kenny Waller and all these guys on elephants and stuff.
Yeah,
It was Dave Dupree and all those guys. Are
Bill Grant.
Bill Grant. It was very cool.
Wow. So when did they did the parade during the day then, and then they had the show at
they
night?
They did the parade on
– Or the day before.
I think it was like in the morning. Was it morning? A Saturday maybe? Or maybe it was Friday. I can't remember. You got to realize that was – that year, Dave Johns won.
Yeah.
And then the one that Larry was in Boston or Worcester. That was Rufus Howard won that year.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
John, he's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. He's still not really good. Buddy.
Well, I really don't have all the – I have like a short – I have a really good memory one day because I'm 70 now. And then –
Are you really? Dave, you look great.
Then I can't remember anything, John. You know what I mean? Like, so I have my moments, put it that way. My senior moments. You
got to tell him that story, Davey. You told him when you went to California with the camera and the guy let you take the pictures. And
oh, yeah.
Awesome story.
John, do you remember when they did a photo shoot with Louie and Danny Padilla?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was at Goals on 2nd Street, the one that Beretta owned. That building. What owned that building?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's when Pete owned it. And I was there. I was with Ron McBeth. Remember Ron McBeth? He was an Ohio bodybuilder.
Okay.
He was one of Pete's good friends.
Okay.
Pete Gronkowski's good friends. So I was there, and I had this little camera. It was like not a box camera, but it was like a cheap old camera. And I was taking pictures. And Joe Weider, you know how he's got that voice? He goes – He says to McGowan, and he says to the guys, get that guy out of here. He's stealing my secrets. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't stealing your secrets. I was taking a picture.
Right.
This 6'5" guy, Danny Padilla, who's like about, what is he, 5'2" or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was so funny, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He told McGowan, he goes, get him out of here. You know what I mean? Get him out of here. No, it was Bill Lemus.
Bill Reynolds.
That's who was filming. He had cameras with lenses this big, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right. That contest in 77, was that totally packed? Because I know Ken Sprague promoted that. And I heard it was like a really big event.
It was really, really nice. It was really well put on.
He had Mae West come up, right, and give Dave Johns a trophy.
What's that again? Oh yeah.
Mae West, yeah.
Yeah, Mae West. I was there. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know how, what's that line she always says? Let me tell you something, or something like that. Or
yeah.
She had a little scarf around her neck, and she was putting her arms all over the bodybuilders and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
That was really cool. And I'm trying to think. There was a lot of really good bodybuilders in that year. It was Manuel Perry was in there.
Yeah.
And Tom Goss was in there.
Yeah, Ron
Tufel. I don't know. Was Ron Tufel in there? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, I think he won the short class.
Okay, yeah. And then Gromkowski was in there too, I think.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool. Very cool.
Blair, how did you do in America in 82 when Rufus Howard won?
How did I do?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I took second to Mike Sable.
Oh, to Mike Sable. Okay.
Yeah, I remember.
And then you won the class next year.
But I remember I was so mad because 82, I was winning everything. I was cruising. I thought, just going to move into that and do the same thing. And then, I lost the money.
Larry, I really thought you won that contest. not the contest, but that class.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, and then, you know, whoever year was in there, they had no back. I shouldn't even say this. Like Jesse Goutreau was in there. You know,
yeah.
He looked like he needed a chin-up bar. I mean, I hope he doesn't. Is he still living? Hopefully, he doesn't see this. But but he always did really well in those contests.
You know? Yeah, he did. He always did good. Yeah.
Rufus, trying to remember. I think Abe Cuesta might have won the medium class.
Rufus Abe Cuesta was in Florida too, right?
Yep. He was in Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
Yeah.
I was watching some of that today, as a matter of fact.
Hey, Larry, did we have anybody other than you in that America that year? Did we have anybody from quads in there? I can't remember.
I think Tim Bell went in it.
Oh, yeah. Tim Bell did go in it. Yeah, he did.
Sure Tim Bell.
Tim Bell has moved to Naples.
Oh, really? No kidding.
Yeah. So
right down there.
He's still a good friend of mine. And he was training at my gym for a while. And he's people don't notice, but he's like a pro-am golfer now.
Is he really? No kidding.
Yeah, he's a very good golfer.
Wow.
If you saw him, you wouldn't recognize him as you were recognizing him when he was 275, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Tim Bell is a perfect example. He used to drive over from Joliet, right?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah. He used to go to Turner's gym in Joliet, and then he started coming by us. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I thought Turner's in St. Louis, wasn't it?
Oh, not Turner.
Danny.
Dennis. Dennis
Franz.
Is that his name?
Dennis Franz?
No, not Dennis Franz. Not Franz.
No?
That's where Eddie Cohen used to go. Ernie Franz.
Ernie Franz.
The other guy. What was the guy's name in Joliet? I can't remember his name.
Oh. Shoot, I'm thinking of the guy in Downers Grove.
Well, that's where Tim used to go.
Okay.
And he came by us.
Yeah, but that was just an example of guys traveling. And I think I talked this to you about this before, John and Davey. We lived it. It was so cool. On Saturday, that place was Saturday morning, to be specific.
Yeah.
Like everyone was there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You had to bring your A game because everyone you competed with from the different cities.
Yeah.
It's like, and the intensity.
Okay. We had these in the second gym in Thornton, we had these skylights in the roof, John. They were so it was the lighting was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Okay. So usually on Saturdays, I'm not sure, but I think Larry could tell you that. Most people were doing lights, okay? So those guys would all be dropping their workout pants down, and you know they're in their underwear, okay? And they're all posing there next to each other. It was like the Olympia.
Wow.
You had Mike Ondo. Remember Mike Ondo?
No, I don't remember Mike Ondo.
He was from Indiana, and Brian Krause, and you had John LaRue, and you had all these guys there. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Larry and Tim Smith and all of them. It was just so cool to see Bill Hirschenberger. They were all there.
Yeah.
Gus would come over. John Gus would come over.
John Gus came to our gym for a long while. Remember he left Hammers and he came by us.
Yeah, from Finley Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the other thing, Dave, the skylights, and we all posed around that one mirror right by the front. Right?
We had the hanging mirror. Yeah.
That was back in the day before these earbuds. And it was so loud in there. You guys had the heavy rock cranked. And that added the intensity. Yeah. You could talk Harley to someone extra.
Right. Right.
And then the other thing too, when you're asking me if I remembered Patty, I remember when I first started going there, Davey, there was like maybe one woman at that, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say there weren't too many women back then.
No, not a hardcore place like that. It was,
yeah. Yeah.
You had to be, you know, super serious and probably have 20 brothers to put up with all the shit.
Right.
The guys that were in there. Cause
yeah.
You get gawked at if you're, you know, under so many dudes and trying to hit on it. Cause there's no girls in the gym.
Not like today. No.
You're not meeting anyone. So
that's probably why you're so serious. And nowadays, you know, you come up north to this gym and you got all these bikini pros and these wellness girls.
Oh, yeah. That's all it is now, right?
Guys
yeah.
are all looking at the girls going in. You know, it's different. It's a different.
Yeah.
When you were in Thornton and Calumet City, you were like, you were just focused on your training.
Right, you know? Right. You know? I thought that many times, Dave. I'm like, man, I'm glad these girls weren't around when I was young because my career wouldn't have been the same, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Too,
in the second gym, Davey, the one that had the stairs into the, like a warehouse, with the glass doors.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the first one. The one with the wooden walkway was the second gym.
Oh, okay. I got them backwards. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The first one, I don't think you guys had air conditioning in there.
No, we
right?
didn't.
Because no. I remember going in there in the summer, horrible. No ventilation, just like a blanket hanging, you know. I'm like going, holy cow, this is going to be rough. And going through work, I remember passing out and hitting my forehead on that, seriously, that iron bar that you pushed out to do calves and you push it out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Just passed out and doink, and blood's running down my head.
No way.
You had that older gentleman, like, I think it was a doctor. I think his name was Ron. He was watching for you. He called an ambulance.
Ron Barter.
Yeah. He called an ambulance. I was like, what?
Wow.
I was getting ready for some shows. I was little, but it was so hot in there. Remember back in the day, dude?
Oh, yeah. You know what? Eddie, I would still can remember this. Eddie Cohn, he would be in there and he's squatting 1,000 pounds. And these guys are saying, man, it's so hot in there. Eddie would say, shut up. He goes in lift, okay? You can get in your air-conditioned car. You can go into your air-conditioned house when you're done here.
Yeah.
Let's get the work done here now.
Right.
Say, you know?
So we would just go do it. Yeah, we would just go do it. But it was thick, man. It was.
Yeah. I remember, like, Hammers and USA Gym, too. They didn't have air conditioning either. Yeah, that's just the way it was back then, you know?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that today?
No, I couldn't. Yeah.
Who would put up with that?
We had a hurricane out here in Tampa a few years ago and everybody lost power for like a week. And I was dying in the gym, you know, training without air conditioning, you know, like, man, it's like the old days, you know,
you probably had it to yourself.
No, everybody was in there, but it was definitely different. You know, you get used to it.
Yeah. And then when you get more bodies in there, it makes it even hotter.
Right.
You
know? Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I understand totally.
But I was thinking, like, man, we used to do this all the time. This was every day, you know?
Yeah. Times change, you know.
Oh yeah, you mentioned Eddie Cohn. Talk a little bit about him, Dave. When did he start coming in your gym?
You know, Eddie used to go to 95th Street Chicago Health Club on 95th Street for a long time.
Because he was from Evergreen.
Yeah, and he started powerlifting when he was like 13.
Okay.
He came by us when he was in his probably in his later 20s, and he was there for a lot of years.
Oh, okay.
And I tell you what, Eddie went from you know, people don't know this, but he won't admit this, but I'm going to tell you this. Okay. If you ask him how many world records he has, he'll say 75. No. He's got about 125. And the reason why is because he was in the 165s. He broke those records. Then he went to the 181. He broke all of Mike Bridges' records.
Yeah.
Then he went to the 198. He broke those records. Then he went to the 220s and broke those records. And then he went to the 242s and broke all those records.
Jeez.
Now, the following year, he'd break his own records because he would do more than he did the previous year.
Unbelievable, man.
He pulled 901 off the floor at 217 body weight.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
And I seen him do bent over rows with 405. I seen him do behind neck presses with 405. And I'm not talking about one rep.
Yeah.
We're talking about reps. I mean, he is definitely 100% a legend. And he's like a Larry. Him and Larry are good guys. And I like Eddie a lot. And Eddie's more popular now than when he was competing because
yeah, he is.
he's doing stuff with Stan Efferding. He's doing podcasts. He's got his own powerlifting contest now. And
yeah,
the Omaha Barbell has an Eddie Cohen Classic. He was like, I think about a month and a half ago, he was in Utica doing a Utica, New York. He's in Norway. He's everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's, you know, like Tommy said, when he was doing the DVDs and VHSs and in the old days, you know, we had one on the art of squatting, one on the art of benching, and one on the art of bench deadlifting.
Yeah.
And Tommy started out the thing and said that he's the darling of powerlifting. And he's like the Michael Jordan of powerlifting.
Yeah.
Because how good he is.
Yeah.
And if you hang around with him, you lift with him, and you're not strong, I can name guys like Paulie Rodriguez and different guys that he took underneath his wing. And he just made those guys strong.
Mm.
I don't mean drugs. I'm just talking about this.
Right.
His technique.
Right.
The way he carried the bar on his back, the way his foot placement, the way he did percentages, the way he was devout with everything he did.
Yeah.
Never miss, you know, and always was there every day. His assistance exercises, just everything about him. He was, he is what he is. He's the best.
Yeah. Why do you think he was the best? Do you think, how much was it genetics? How much was it hard work? And how much was it, like his knowledge, like you said, all the things he was doing?
I honestly believe his drive. I mean, I called him one day and I said, hey, Ed, I'm going to take you to, let's go to the Sox game with me. He goes, I can't go. I got to lift tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, so he would never interrupt what he was doing. He was very like a creature of habit.
Mm-hmm.
So everything he did precisely, and that's why he was as good as he was.
Yeah.
You know, and no one can say they won 15 world championships and 15 senior national USPF senior national championships.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
125 world records. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, he won't, but he won't say that.
He won't say that.
He'll hear this podcast. You know what he'll say? You told him 120. That's untrue. Well, you know, do the numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got a lot.
You know,
and everybody will come up to me and say, well, this guy's better than Eddie. And I said, no, no, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you're barking up the wrong tree because those guys were good. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're not as good as Eddie was, for as long as he was.
It's great that he's recognized now by the powerlifting community as a legend. You know what I mean? All these
And, you know, he just got into the Hall of Fame with, what's his name? Goldman, you know, so Hall of Fame thing, which he deserves, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like he's also very helpful to the young lifters. He's never, you know, people when he'll be coming over probably in fall again because his time with all these different things that he does is going to slow down and he'll come back. And he works out of Lance's gym by Sox Park because it's closer to his house now.
Okay. So,
he comes in and people, guys or girls, say, is that Ed Cohen back there? And I go, yeah. You think he would take a picture with me or you think he would help with my deadlift? I go, don't be scared of him. Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
So I walk the people back there and I go, this is so-and-so, this is whatever the girl's name is. And will you take a picture of me? He goes, sure, absolutely. He takes a picture with him, you know. And, and Eddie is a jokester too. He's another Tommy, you know.
Yeah.
He'll say to me like, "Can you get any fatter?" And I said, "Can you get any taller?"
You know, stay away from that one.
He messes with me, you know what I mean? But we mess with each other. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah. Him and I actually send jokes almost every other day on a Messenger or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Crazy stuff. Yeah. Trying to top each other. But
yeah.
I'm a little hurt. I never got invited to a Sox game, man. What the heck?
Larry, you live in Arizona now.
Minor detail.
I never got invited to the Coyotes game.
Come out here. We'll go to a spring training. I've been trying to get Davey out here to go to Sox spring training for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about a workhorse. That's another reason Quads is so.
No, to be honest with you,
come out.
It's about time I'm about to leave this gym business. I'm getting
40 years.
I'm getting tired. I mean, it's a lot of work, man. A lot of work.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize it's just
it's all day. It's every day, right?
It's every day. It's a grind and it's, you know, you're dealing with personalities. You're dealing with, you're dealing with a lot of people that don't think when you tell them to put their weights away or.
Yeah.
I was on the phone with, you remember Bob Bonham, right? He passed
away. Yeah.
But he's a friend of mine too. So he called me one day and we were talking on the phone and he was that strong and shapely and. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden this guy walks up to his counter and I could hear him talking. He goes, "Hey, Bob, turn the music on." And he goes, "Hey, listen, dude, put your weights away and I'll turn the music back on." Then he goes back to me. He goes, "I'm sure you have the same problem that I have." I go, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
I said, "There's signs everywhere. Don't slam weights. Put your weights away."
Yeah. And
they still do it. You know, so.
Dave, how are you dealing with these people now? Because it's so different. Before we used to just play the stereo. Now everybody's got their headphones on. They're all taking pictures at the gym I go to, which is a powerhouse. So it's pretty hardcore. I can't believe how many people are coming in with tripods and cameras. It's like, that's part of their gym equipment now. Well, it's like you bring your gym bag, you bring your tripod and your camera, you know?
Well, you know what? There's two really actually memos that I got caught from West Bend Mutual Insurance and a lot of them. The two memos were the gym bags need to go away because they're tripping hazards.
Okay.
You know, like a lot of times these powerlifters or bodybuilders come in and, you know, they got shoes and belts and stuff.
Yeah.
And all, you know, all kinds of stuff in there. They're as big as like a goalie hockey bag, you know?
Yeah. Right.
The second thing was, the picture taking because, you know, all of a sudden it could land up on Instagram and some girl said, "I didn't give any consent to be on Instagram," and then they come to me, you know. It is a problem, and you know, I mean, it's like everybody. That's all they want to do is take pictures of themselves all the time.
I know.
Like, you know, how about this training and this
workout? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't get it, man.
I don't know how they can work out because they're constantly filming themselves. You know, I mean, I don't know how can you get in the mood of the workout and really get into it when you're constantly having to stop the film, you know, and set things up and everything. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's really disheartening, to be honest with you. And that's another reason is to deal with those people too. You know, I have signs all over the place, you know, like not only the put your weights away, don't slamming weights, but, just, you know, like they take their protein shake and they put it down the drinking fountain. A drinking fountain has got a drain about as big as a
right.
Well, right. It gets clogged up because it's milky substance, right?
Yeah.
Well, then I got to have the plumbing guy come out and fix it. Here it's $500 to fix the drinking fountain. So there's another sign that goes up there. Don't put your drinking fountain, don't put your protein down and shakes down the drinking fountain.
Right. It's not a drain.
Throw them down the toilet.
Yeah.
Last week, some guy went into the bathroom and he must have taken his protein shake or open. And you know, those little spring balls, you know, that you have in the shaker? He threw it down and it got clogged in the toilet. I had to have the plumber come out and it cost like $300 to rot a drain. It was that one of those balls.
Yeah.
Those metal balls.
Oh, man. Jeez.
So, I mean, it's like you're dealing with, I shouldn't call them illiterates, but it's crazy people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seeing the way.
I would say more like common sense. They don't need common sense.
Right.
Just like you were saying, John, the way it was way back when, you just went in, you trained hard, you got results.
Yeah.
You don't have to be there 3 hours like these guys are doing camera setups and all that BS.
Yeah.
You have to talk about that stuff, Davey. Talk about taking some wind out of the sail. Maybe, geez, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, between dealing with those people, like John said, and dealing with city inspectors and.
Yeah.
And then being there every day, you know, and you're listening to people complain about different things. And I don't know. I mean, it's like.
I give you credit, man. I don't think I can do it. It's going to be fun.
That's what was cool about Dave.
You know what?
Everyone who came in there, you guys talked to them like they're your brother, your kid, though. You treated everyone the best. I mean, that's why
it
exploded like it did.
Well, as long as I'm going to be in the business, I'm going to always be that way towards people. I want to be genuine. I want to be able to have people come there every day and have great workouts.
Yeah.
That's the motive. And that's what I try to do.
Yeah.
Do I always hit the mark every day? Not really, but I try.
Mm-hmm. You know, how many old members still call you 40 years later, dude?
Oh yeah, I get calls from Andy Januszki all the time. I get calls from everybody, Keith Vanderlee, everybody. See, they all call, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you know, like getting every year, I would go see Bill Pearl at the Club Industry Show.
Yeah,
and he was there for Life Fitness, and I would always give him a T-shirt because I always liked Bill a lot, you know.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
Yeah. And, he always say, Dave, I was in Pasadena, California for 20 and I don't know how you do it this long.
Yeah.
He goes, I give you a lot of credit. He said,
yeah. Yeah.
He always invited me to Oregon to just stay at his house with him and his wife. But I
wow, that's nice.
Took him up on it, you know.
Yeah.
He collects all these old cars, you know.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah. You know, like with the swing windshields and the,
oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, those real old time cars, like real old, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Bill will be 92 this year. That's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I love that guy. I sat with him and Artie Zeller at the Olympia when Franco won and he showed
up. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And, I was there too.
Yeah, we sat on the main floor, the three of us, and
what did they say? What did Bill Pearl?
Oh, we were walking out from the main floor. You know how this floor went up on an angle?
Yeah, yeah.
And then they said, this can't go on in the IFBB. That's what they said.
Right.
That's their exact words.
Yeah.
You know.
Because Bill was at he watched the 82 in Australia that Arnold won.
Yeah.
The year before.
And you know, then I went outside and I think it was Rick Wayne at the time. It wasn't Tom Dieters. Tom Dieters came to our gym for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He was from Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in Lombard Chiropractic School. And then he came when he
was 18.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, I think it was Rick Wayne. So yeah, we went outside of veterans and they're all hovered around taking quotes. And I'm on the outside. There's like 200 people and I'm yelling in the background, tell the truth. I go, you guys got ripped off. I yelled out. I was yelling, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody was yelling. It wasn't just me.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't know. You remember, John, were you on the main floor or were you in the balcony?
Yeah, I was on the main floor. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you getting hit with quarters, dimes and nickels and pennies?
I saw people doing that. They were reaching in their pocket and throwing shit at the.
Yeah. Gym. I got hit in the back of my head.
Did you really?
Yeah. And I was covering my eyes up. I didn't want to get hit in the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? First of all, he's up there with the top 10. And then they whittled it down to top six, and he's still up there. And I'm going, this can't go. How? He had no legs. I'm going, like, he kept doing three-quarter back shots and front lat spreads and rear double biceps. His back looked good. His chest looked good. His shoulder, like, they always look good.
Yeah.
But his legs were lacking. And here's Tom Platz and Roy Callender and Padilla that were in great shape.
Yeah,
They got ripped off, man.
Totally, totally. Have you ever seen an audience reaction like that? I mean, to this day, it was unbelievable. Again,
the whole place booed.
The whole place. It was insane.
Yeah. It was unbelievable.
It started when Danny got fifth, and it just kept rising. You know, it just kept getting louder and louder. You know, it was unbelievable.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. I've never seen a show like that. I never will again. You know, it was just unbelievable. Oh.
Well, you know, another thing is I honestly believe, and you probably – I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but – I think that Mike Mensur should have beat Arnold too that year. I think. I don't know.
In 80, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he looked phenomenal. And I really think that had some effects on Mike Mensur's, you know, him going forward in his life.
Yeah, he never competed.
You know, and, him and his brother have both passed away. But I'm saying it's sad because, you know, I think that he was in really good shape.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I heard that there was almost a fist fight.
Between him and Arnold, yeah.
Yeah, and then what's his name? I think Balik broke it up or something. Or
Bill Pearl, I think. Bill Pearl broke it.
Yeah, did he? Was it Bill Pearl?
Yeah.
Wow. Unbelievable.
What did Bill say after 81? He just said he can't go on like this anymore?
Well, he just said the IFBB has got to do something about this.
Yeah.
Well, like, you know, that you know, they should – you know, pick the clear-cut winner. But, you know, let's face the facts. Not I don't care if it's a low-level contest or, you know, like or the Olympia or the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not always the best man wins.
Right, right, yeah.
Sometimes it happens, but sometimes it doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, I'm all about fairness.
Absolutely, yeah. You know? Yeah. So. Well, let's go by your list there, Dave.
Okay. Yeah, I got to put my cheaters on, John.
Sure. Yes, see. We all do.
Okay. Now, here's just the list. I didn't put them in any order, but I'll name.
Yeah, we'll just read them.
Yeah. Okay. I was on top. I thought that was the perfect order.
Okay. Here's the list right here. See.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Larry Bernstein's number one. I didn't put him in any order. Tim Bell, Tim Smith, Brian Smith, John LaRue, Mark Banner, Shannon Monroe, Pete Cutsigaris, Mikey Winters, who was a pro, Mike Ondo, Brian Krause, Bill Hershenberger, Keith Vanderleek, Dave Vignassi, Glenn Kinnear, Anthony Watkins, Herc, Pete Miller. He came to the Northside Gym for like 3 years. Joe Schroeder. Joe Cole. Remember Joe Cole?
Yeah, I competed against him.
Yeah. Mose Carter. Remember Mose Carter? Okay. Mike Malone, who was a Chicago police officer. He had a really good, real quiet guy, African-American guy. Really good. Jimmy Chan, Chuck Durr. He remembers Zoo Hare. Okay. Frankie Fontanez, Cynthia Barker, who won the Miss America. You remember Jeff Sorensen?
Yes. Yeah.
Sorensen.
He trained at USA for a while.
Yep. Let's see. Sergio Oliva Jr. came to my gym for about 4 years, and then he
really. Okay.
Yeah, he's in Dubai now. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
John Gust, and then I had Ron Bava on there. Do you remember Ron Bava?
Oh, I remember Bava. He went to Illinois in like early '80s, late '70s.
Okay. Yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Yeah, he was from Chicago, I think.
And then I had some powerlifters and strongmen. I had Eddie Cohen, Mark Phillippe, who worked out with Eddie for about 8 years at our gym. Brian Schoenfeld.
Yeah, I remember them.
Really strong kid. John Binkowski and Andy Jelinuski. That's just to name a few of all of them.
Okay.
But that's some of the people on the list. And I'm sure I forgot a lot of them, John. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I can't remember them all. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We did an interview with Glenn. Me and Larry did. And so
I watched that. It was awesome.
Yeah. He was a great bodybuilder during that time.
I loved him. Yeah. He was a good guy too.
Yeah. That was Joe Schroeder was his buddy, and a lot of people forgot about him. Joe won the first teenage show I ever went in. So I think Joe was 19. I was 16. But man, he had a lot of potential, right? So much thickness.
I got to tell you, somebody that just came in the gym to visit me, George Mendez.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. He lives in the area.
How old is George now?
George has got to be probably 60 something, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. He's such a nice guy.
He was a big name when I just started. Yeah.
Yeah. George Mendez. He comes in sometimes on Saturdays to visit me.
Okay. Wow. Yeah,
he's super good dude. So
did Sergio ever come in there? Sergio Sr.?
You know what? I used to see Sergio in church, and then, he always, at the end of the service, he would always come down the aisle, and then we would talk, you know.
Yeah.
At the time, Hannah and Katie were very young, my daughters, and he would always hold it, my daughters.
Yeah. Okay.
And I said to my daughters, they didn't know this, but I said, this guy beat Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he looks at me and he goes, who cares? He goes, these kids are more important than that. You know?
Yeah.
So we made an agreement that he had a new book coming out. And so I was going to have him at the gym and have a book signing. And I said, any money that you make, it all goes to you. It would be an honor for you to be there.
Yeah.
Because he used to hand trophies out at our contests.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I would always sit him in the front row with him and Arlene at the time.
Yeah.
So one day he came over at night and he brought me an easel and he brought me a thing about the book, you know, they could set on there. But we didn't really set a time and what day it was going to be. I told him that Mondays would be a good day because that's probably the most busiest time.
Yeah.
And so he kind of got mad at me because I didn't do it. And so he came one night when I wasn't there. He took the easel and the thing back. Mm. He was a little – he still was nice to me, but he was a little standoffish because I dropped the ball. Me. Mm. Not him. Okay. Me.
Yeah.
And I kicked myself now.
I
went to his wake on a Friday night, and it was at the Bar funeral home. And I went there and, you know, and I don't know. I just, when I went there, I even felt worse. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I could have gave him some joy to be there, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was charging for the book, but he just to get a book and an autograph from him.
Yeah.
The myth, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah. Yeah.
And I was there when he made the comeback in New York.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. When he held little Sergio up on stage.
Yeah. 84.
I was there. It was at the, the Feld Forum.
Yeah.
So, we stayed where all the bodybuilders stayed on Dora at the Doral Inn.
Okay. And then,
he wore yellow posing trunks. You remember?
Yeah.
I was there that year. And, you know, I liked him. You know, he was always nice to me.
Yeah. Yeah. People who don't know Sergio, I mean, he was such a legend in Chicago. Whenever he came to contests or whatever, I mean, the crowd just treated him like he was the king because he was the king. He was unbelievable. You know?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. He was, quite a nice guy.
The shows would almost come to a stop. And sir,
yeah.
If you're posing, I felt sorry who was in the
back. Yeah.
Because no one even watched you anymore because of Sergio, right?
Were you in the Central USA in 1980, Larry? I think, weren't you in the junior division or something?
Yeah.
I was in the teenage that year, and he came in that year. And that, I remember that one where the whole audience turned around when Sergio walked in. And I think he walked all the way up to the front of the stage and he went backstage. And like you said, that poor guy that was up there posing, nobody even looked at him because, you know, everybody was looking at Sergio.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's funny. You talk about I was just bringing this back up because you mentioned Schroeder and a teenage thing.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I forgot. So Dave, you remember this shirt, buddy?
Teenage Illinois.
Ooh, that's you on there, Larry.
That's right.
Wow. That is you.
They put that shirt on. And I kept one shirt because they put these out the year after. And I got the guest pose and hand out a trophy or something. But I was like, it bums me out because it's so big on me now.
It's in good shape, though.
But, you know, you got to save one and not wear it.
Yeah, right.
Larry, you know what I say to Eddie? And I'll say the same thing to you or even John. You guys don't have to prove to nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
Because you guys did it. So guess what? Nobody can say ever say can take those titles away.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so you know who cares? I don't care if that shirt is baggy on you. I can care.
Yeah, what blows me away, Davey? You see, John's still looking incredible at 50. What now, John?
59.
He's still doing. He's posting all these shots.
He's
unbelievable, dude.
Matter of fact, there's a picture of John. Right at the top of the stairs is a picture of John on the walls.
All right. Awesome. Yeah.
I should take a picture of that and send it to you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think you're doing a single bicep. I think is what you're doing.
Yeah. I remember that picture.
You sent it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I don't take pictures down, John. I leave them up.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't even care if I had a falling out with somebody. I still leave them on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know what? Those people made that gym what it is.
That's right.
You know, a lot of fantastic. I'm blessed.
So how many years has it been now, Dave? So you own the one in Thornton for 12 years. That was from 76 to 88, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had the one in Calumet City.
Well, we were in a basement. So I don't know if you could count that, but I'm saying we were in the basements in the beginning of the, you know, like 73, 74.
Okay.
So in actually a storefront it was 76 till now.
You know? Okay. How long did the Calumet City one stay open?
Quite a long time. It was there a long time. Well, you figure, let's see, 88, we moved there. And then Tommy died in 2003. So that was like, what, 15? What is that? 88 to 2003?
15 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were there a long time.
And the one downtown? If
we died, we would have kept it open, you know.
Yeah. And the one downtown has been open how long?
Since 1988.
Since 88. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but the good part, like when you're talking about all these people making that gym and being there, but it's because of, you know, the atmosphere, you helped make them what they were. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of the gains that were made and strength that came upon because of the atmosphere of that place. You know, you couldn't go anywhere and get workouts like that or have someone saying, don't quit, dude. You know, who does that?
Yeah.
Like, you'll be better, but he meant, you know, from the heart. And That's what made the quads.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you guys on, because those old school gyms, you know, back in the day, I mean, we did have that kind of atmosphere. And I remember like Hammer's gym, when a guy would go into a contest, and you guys, I'm sure you did the same thing, Dave, when someone was, well, a couple guys from your gym were going in like the Mr. Illinois or the Midwest or whatever, the whole gym would come out there, right? You'd get like
people.
Yeah. And we would do the same thing at Hammer's. I mean, that doesn't exist anymore at all. But I mean, we would get, if like me and five other guys were in a show, there'd be 20 or 30 people from the gym there. We'd all go out for pizza afterwards. I mean, that was just such a great atmosphere and so much support, you know?
Those were such good old days.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, you remember Henryville Lobos? Remember Henry?
I remember that name, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to say Henry. Henry, yeah, Henry should be on this list because he came to my gym for many years. Henryville Lobos.
I remember him coming to my first show and saying, "Don't make me pull out my pistolas. Give him the trophy."
Yeah, well, Larry.
Oh, he was a hoot.
You deserved all those titles and
too nice, buddy.
Trophies. Larry's mom had a room in the house. It was a spare bedroom. That was Larry's trophy room.
Wow, nice.
It was packed.
I'm sure you got the same thing, John.
With trophies and ribbons and plaques and just everything.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, you know.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one more story, Larry, and I don't want you to cry, Larry. So, so Larry's dad used to always come over and visit us because he was in Glenwood, Illinois, the water wasn't very good. So his mom, when she cooked, she needed water. So Ray would come over and we'd fill these big jugs of water.
Oh, yeah, I know where this is going.
So he'd always come and visit me on Saturdays. So he'd come down and I'd fill him up. So one day Larry was in the universe. I don't know where he was. It could have been, I don't know where he was. You could have been in Holland. I don't know where you were.
London. And
that particular year.
Yeah.
So Ray said, "Hey, Dave, can I talk to you in the back?" And I said, "Sure." So I go in the back, we fill the water up, then we go in the back. Because, you know, Larry doesn't know about this, but I've got terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "But Larry don't know it."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Because I didn't want Larry to worry about it. I was running him worried about his training. And he kind of like hugged me and he like wouldn't let go of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care. So I held him for about a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I knew that where that was coming, you know, what it was a heartfelt moment.
Yeah.
Okay? And he hugged me. And so it was a Kodak moment.
Yeah.
So
I hope you charged my dad for that water, Davey.
What are you kidding? He had to make meals. Your mom had to make meals.
I know, buddy. No.
We used to go to Larry's house and have barbecues. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun in those days, Larry. You know that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's how our parents were from that generation, right? They all they thought about was the kids.
Yeah.
You know?
And yeah, my mom was like that, too. She, you know, you could come over to my house, John, we're going to go out, all of us. And she would say, "Hey, John, your collar's a little bit wrinkled. Take it off and I'll iron it real quick for you."
Yeah, right.
"You guys hungry? I'll get you, make you something out to eat before you go out."
Yeah.
That's just, you know, my mom and dad were married for 65 years. I mean,
yeah.
The only reason why they didn't go longer is they died. But, you know, I came from I have great sisters. I got great kids and I had a good business partner. So, I had good friends like Larry. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, my life's pretty complete, you know, as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. You've been in the business a long time, Dave. So, thanks to you, a lot of people, you know, had great careers and, you know, great memories, you know.
Like I said, you know, those people were so dear to me and they were all like extended family, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't have any brothers. I had two sisters. So a lot of those guys were like my brothers.
Right. So, exactly. Right.
It is what it is. I mean, things go away. You know, they think there's good times and then all of a sudden I don't get to see all these people anymore. I haven't seen Larry in a while.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in a while.
I haven't seen you in a long time.
A lot of people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do I miss them? Oh, I sure do miss them. You know what I mean? But I mean, they're busy with their own lives. You know, they got kids, they got jobs. They, you know, they're still lifting a lot of them, but
yeah,
you know, they're busy and they live in Southside or Indiana or whatever, you know?
So. Yeah. 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 When I think about those days in bodybuilding, I mean, we all put, all of us that were in it, we put so much effort into it. You know, we worked so hard for it. And I think back now, I'm like, God, how could I train so hard for those? We didn't get anything out of it. I mean, we wouldn't make any money, you know, we were losing money really, you know, to put all that into it. But those memories now are, will never fade. You know, all those memories of the workouts, the competitions, the camaraderie we had with the people that we were with, you know, and I'm sure everybody feels the same. I mean, that stuff will last forever, you know, so it was really absolutely worth it, you know.
Well, for sure. And you're still going, you know, you're still doing good.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
By the way, if you get some more pictures, send them my way.
I will. I will.
Sure. Give me some with some of the trophies by him this time.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Larry?
Oh, no, it's funny. You're talking about the memories. Thank God, because those trophies just fall apart, you know.
No, I know. Okay. Like,
I kept two. I think I hate to say it. I have like two trophies here in Arizona.
Yeah.
One is I think it was the Mr. Illinois, because it was a really cool looking statue. And the other was, remember that bronze one where he's doing like a 3-quarter shot?
Yeah.
Really cool. And I just kept that one because I liked it. And all the other ones, they all fall apart or, you know.
Yeah.
The shipping from Illinois to Arizona.
Yeah.
Like in the garage.
I got a lot of those trophies in
the I sent those room. To you.
That's right. I got a lot of them.
Yeah.
They're in the back room, I think, somewhere. I'm not sure. I got so much junk in that place. And I don't mean trophies are junk, but I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Got to put it there, you know, but.
I know we had the body part awards back then too, so that added to the collection, right?
Best arms or the best legs, you know?
Yeah, Larry won a lot of those.
People people would ask why you do it, you know, and now at this stage in my life, it's like all that work and we were chasing a trophy, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
You know, obviously it's way more than that.
Yeah, but Larry, if you think about it, just think about all the countries that you visited. And all the
never would have happened.
All the people that
I just like you're saying, you know, being blessed because you know I end up, you know, like any of those shows could have gone either way, and I could have been the dude not going overseas just because
that's right.
I didn't get the vote, so I'm like knocking on wood. It's like because that's a lot of work not to get the reward, man. Woo.
Yeah.
You know how many parents sit at home thinking you're putting all this. Matter of fact. One of my shows when I was a teenager, my uncle asked me, hey, can you make money doing this?
Yeah, I remember he said that, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, Uncle Mike.
One of your Jewish uncles.
Exactly. Yeah, but Larry, to be honest with you, if you think about it, you know, those memories and, you know. How many, honestly, I don't even know this. You could tell me. How many countries did you go to?
Like 16, 17, something like
that. There you go.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Because to me, at the end, you were saying about, you know, all the stuff these guys started doing. I didn't want to go there. You know, it was beyond what I really wanted to do. And I just kept doing it because I just want to keep seeing more of the world. I could place in the top three and make some guest posing money or seminars and see a new country and meet new people.
Yeah.
That's what kind of kept it alive. And everyone's so nice everywhere, you know, even
there. Yeah, that was cool that you were actually like involved with the AAU and the NABBA, right? Because that's what allowed you to do all those. Like that was like Jeff King too, right? That's how he was doing all those traveling and stuff. Yeah,
oh, big time.
For so many years too. Yeah,
they just you know wrote it out until.
Yeah,
you know, I'm still single. I don't have my own house. Okay,
right.
I'm getting a little older, but like if you hadn't done your gym, Davey, who knows? You know, all I had was a powerlifting gym. Not there's anything wrong with powerlifting. You know, Eddie crushed it, but
I never had that
place.
Right,
to see Brew and you
probably, Larry, you probably would have been a great powerlifter because you're low to ground. You probably would do good at that.
No, this is about quads. This is thanks to you. What happened?
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, hey, I want to thank you guys for joining me on the show. It was great reminiscing about some of the old days of bodybuilding. And I love doing shows like this because this is the reason why we got into bodybuilding in the first place. So it was great. Plus, it was great seeing you guys again, too. Dave, I haven't seen you in forever. And Larry, it's always good seeing you, too.
Thanks, John.
Hey, John, thanks so much for having me. And Larry, I miss you, buddy. I miss both you guys.
Ditto.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, thanks for being on the show. And hopefully we'll get a get together again soon. We won't make it so long this time, no?
Send me some pictures, John.
I will, for sure, buddy. I will.
Okay, my Thanks, friend.
John.
Okay, guys. Take care.
See you.
Bye, Dave. Love you, buddy.
Bye. Bye. Love you too, buddy. Bye.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thank you to Dave DeYoung and Larry Bernstein for coming on the show. That was a really good interview. It was great talking about the old days of bodybuilding with those guys. I also want to thank our Patreon sponsors for helping to sponsor this Bodybuilding Legends podcast. If you are interested in becoming a Patreon sponsor yourself, you can just go to the bodybuildinglegendsshow.com website. And in the upper right hand corner, you will see the link to become a Patreon sponsor. And I've got the links for the Muscle Maturity podcast and for my YouTube channel below in the description. So if you guys want to check that out. And I think I mentioned this on the show before. I do have a lot of old bodybuilding magazines that are for sale. I've been trying to sell them on eBay, but for some reason they are just not selling. So if you guys are interested in that, please shoot me an email at naturalolympia@gmail.com. I'll give you a good deal. And I've got some really good old Ironman magazines that I think you would really love to have if you're a bodybuilding history buff like I am. I've been buying these things like crazy on eBay. I'm one of their best customers right now. But I guess people aren't like me because I can't sell mine. So if you guys are interested in purchasing some, please let me know and I will send you an email letting you know exactly what I have and if you're interested in buying anything. All right. Before I let you guys go, I want to read this article. And this is from the May 1972 issue of Iron Man magazine. And Chris Dickerson was on the cover. And this was right after the 1971 contest season. And this is written by Frank Zane himself, and it's about Arnold. And it says, Arnold as I know him. It says, judging from as good as Arnold is now, one might suppose that he was always this way. This isn't exactly true. Although he was a healthy, athletic youngster when he started training 9 years ago, he weighed but 150 pounds at his present height of 6'1½". 4 years of hard training saw him almost 100 pounds of muscle heavier. Since then, he has been shaping and defining all of his muscle mass, and today at 240 to 245, the results are truly spectacular. My first meeting with Arnold was at the IFBB Mr. Universe contest in Miami. He was very impressive, and even though he was quite smooth and without any color, I thought he'd probably take the title. I had won the IFBB Mr. America contest the week before, and I was in the best shape at that time, and receiving a majority of the votes, I won the title. Arnold outweighed me by almost 50 pounds, and although many feel he should have won, he nevertheless showed good sportsmanship that night. This was the first indication to me of the type of character and maturity he possessed. After that evening, he flew straight to California and took up residence in Santa Monica. It was there that I met him for the second time a few months later. We trained together for 2 weeks, and after that, I became convinced that I wanted to live in Southern California. A month later, my wife and I became permanent residents. That summer of 1969, Arnold and I trained together, he for the Mr. Olympia and the Pro NABBA Universe, and I for the IFBB Mr. World, which I won. Even though Arnold lost to Sergio that year, he astounded the physical culture world with his great improvement. From a totally smooth physique a year before, he became a muscular sensation. A week later, he easily won the NABBA Universe for the third time. Then it was back to training for another crack at the Mr. Olympia title. This year, I feel Arnold made a mistake in his training. Whereas he weighed 235 at the Mr. Olympia, he went up to 260 afterwards, and he stayed there. He ate like a horse all year and consumed protein supplements by the case. The result was that he was much smoother than he was the year before. Nevertheless, he made up for his overbulking craze by training relentlessly hard that summer. That was a great summer in Gold's Gym, 1970. Arnold, Dave Draper, Franco Colombo, and myself trained together for the upcoming contest season. It was two workouts a day, 6 days a week. With Arnold commanding the lead, we pushed on and on in our training those hot summer months. There was so much spirit and enthusiasm in the gym that it affected everyone. You could just walk into the gym and feel it. As a result, everyone got into the best shape of their life, with Arnold winning the Pro AAU Mr. World, the NABBA Pro Mr. Universe, and the Mr. Olympia. Dave taking the IFBB Mr. World, Franco annexing the IFBB Mr. Universe title, and myself getting the NABBA Amateur Universe Award. I'd say that Arnold has a very profound knowledge of what kind of movements are best for his body. He knows all the grooves, in other words. Arnold definitely gets the most out of every set, and all one has to do is watch him work biceps to know how hard his muscles are working. He attacks his workouts with a high degree of enthusiasm and regards his training as his occupation, because currently it is. In his spare time, Arnold is attending Santa Monica City College and majoring in English. He's also very interested in real estate and is studying in this field too. At present, Arnold is training very hard for an exhibition in Japan. His training drive has not abated, and he says he won't retire from competition until he's won Mr. Olympia more times than anyone else. This, to me, means he'll retire at age 26, an age when most physique competitors are just starting to reach their prime. However, knowing him as I do, I think he'll be around for quite a while to push the current standards of bodybuilding even higher. It was about 2 weeks before the London Mr. Universe contest when I received a letter from my friend Arnold Schwarzenegger. Having been on tour in South Africa for 10 weeks, I certainly welcomed any news from home, especially from Arnold. His letter told me that he was training hard in his best shape at 245 pounds, and he would not enter the London Mr. Universe. He said that the IFBB was prohibiting him from competing in London since he was the current Mr. Olympia, and that he would defend his title against Sergio in Paris the following week. Well, the London show came off, and a lot of people didn't understand why Arnold didn't compete. Certainly, he wasn't afraid of Sergio. He had beaten him before. Was it because he feared losing to Bill Pearl? I know everyone has their opinions regarding the controversy, and naturally, they're entitled to think what they wish. However, what I'm saying is not an opinion. It is a fact. And that is, Arnold didn't compete in London because his contract with the Weider organization prohibited him from doing so. Arnold is a close personal friend of mine, and I suppose for this reason I might be termed biased. But I personally think that Arnold could have won the Mr. Universe without difficulty had he been permitted to compete. I know Bill Pearl is great, and so is Oliva, but Arnold has bulk. He has more cuts and muscularity than ever. Had you seen Arnold a few days later, as I did in Belfast, where he gave some exhibitions, you would have agreed with me, I'm sure. Arnold gave several exhibitions, and he brought down the house, so to speak. I've seen most of the present-day greats in their best-ever shape, and it's my opinion that Arnold tops them all. The photos with this article were taken by my wife, Christine, at the above exhibitions, and great as they are, they do not begin to do justice to Arnold, for a camera just can't capture all his greatness as a physique man. Wow. The end. And they've got some pictures of Arnold. Of course, I'm sure everyone has seen these pictures. They got the rear double bicep where he's putting his calf out and his calves look incredible under this light. And then he's doing the one arm side bicep pose, which is one of the best pictures ever of Arnold. And these pictures were taken in Belfast, as Frank said. And this was the exhibition that he did after the NABBA Universe. And I think either after or before the Olympia. And he looks absolutely incredible. This was probably one of the best shapes Arnold has ever been in. And these pictures were taken, as Frank said, by his wife, Christine. A lot of people don't realize that. And a lot of people think these pictures are from 74, but they were, in fact, from 71. And he was in amazing shape. And like I said, it's such a shame we never got to see him against Bill Pearl. And I agree with Frank. I think as much as great as Bill Pearl is and as great as he looked in that contest, I think Arnold would have won that contest because he was just too ripped and too big for anybody to beat at that time, including Sergio. And if Sergio would have been allowed to compete against Arnold in 71, because what happened there was when Sergio arrived in Paris to compete against Arnold at the Mr. Olympia that year, they suspended him and they told him he couldn't compete, but they allowed him to guest post. So we got a chance to see what he looked like. And Wayne talked about this in our interview a couple weeks ago when we did part two. And he said the place was absolutely packed. There was people standing in the back. It was completely sold out, and he said Sergio looked a lot better, but I still think Arnold would have won again, and he would have beat Sergio. So what a shame that we weren't allowed to see those two contests because of bodybuilding politics. But I love that article from Frank, and we will have more articles for you guys in the coming weeks. I've got a lot of articles. I've got a lot of stuff to read, and it's been really fascinating writing this bodybuilding history because I'm going back and I'm learning the details of all the contests. And every year I'm looking at who won the Mr. America, who won the NABBA Universe, and I'm seeing the IFBB coming in. I think I'm on year 64 now, 1964. And the IFBB is starting to get stronger and more guys are going over to the IFBB contest. We're seeing guys like Chuck Sipes and Freddie Ortiz and Serge Nubres coming along. So it's really, really exciting. It's like reading a novel by writing about all these different competitions in bodybuilding history. So this book's really going to be great when it's finished. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. It's good to be back. Sorry for the long delay, but we will try to be more consistent if I can get some people on the show. And even if I can't get any guests, we'll bring up some other people like Jerry or Phil Williams or somebody, and we'll just talk about bodybuilding like we always do. All right, have a great week, everybody. Train hard, and we will see you guys next week. Take care.